Once a Gryffindor, written by Shadowy Cat, read by Smacking Cat. Summary: if you were sorted into your house at 11, would that be dead forever? Albus Dumbledore has a little chat with one of his oldest companions. Our first note: this little story was written in January of 2004, after the publication of The Order of the Phoenix and well before The Half-Blood Prince. Reader's note: this is a birthday gift for Shadowy Cat. I wish you all the best for the years to come, and I hope I can do your awesome story some justice, and I give all my best to read it as well as I can. Have fun, and I hope you enjoy how it turns out. Far later into the evening than he'd hoped, Albus Dumbledore entered his office. Heavy dark blue robes whispered softly against the aged stones of the floor as he crossed the room to his large, cluttered desk. With a feeling of relief, he rounded the desk and lowered his weary body into his chair. The chair immediately conformed to his shape and warmed slightly to ease the aches in his aged muscles, while gently massaging away the stiffness. He expelled a great breath and glanced around the familiar room with warm eyes. It was such a feeling of comfort to attain his sanctuary after another long and taxing day. Perhaps he should indulge in a little snack, even though the hour was late. The house elves wouldn't mind, and dinner was hours and hours ago. Yes, some hot tea and a few of their delicious little sugary cakes would hit the spot nicely right about now. Perhaps the ones with the lemony filling. Those always were his favorite. His eyes danced along with the cheery fire in the grate, and moved longingly to the waiting book on the table beside his most comfortable easy chair. A snack and a little reading. The perfect ending to a long, tedious day. As he contemplated the delights just awaiting to grace his palate and ease his mind, he leaned back in his chair and his eyes fell on the shelf near his desk, on which dwelt one of his oldest companions. A thoughtful expression crossed his craggy face as he found himself speculating on whether or not it was time to try again. Not everyone was fortunate enough to have such a golden opportunity at his fingertips. Why shouldn't he indulge himself? The insight he received over the years had been invaluable. It had done him a world of good to be able to chart the changes in himself as he occupied the position of headmaster of Hogwarts. It was immensely helpful to be able to see the entire Hogwarts experience in himself, as he changed to fit the situations that life continued to thrust in his path with ever-increasing frequency. Yes, absolutely, it was time for another resorting. Smiling eagerly in anticipation, he rose from his chair and approached the dusty shelf where the school's sorting hat resided in all its threadbare glory. Stomach aquiver in anticipation, or possibly simply from hunger, he mustn't forget to order that food, he plucked the head from its resting place and plopped it onto his head. Then the headmaster folded his hands over his still growling stomach and stared into the darkness beneath the brim of the hat. A small voice sighed and spoke dryly against his ear.
"Back again, are we? You wouldn't happen to be here for a game of chess, or help with another one of those muggle crosswordy things you like so much, I suppose. It's not as if I don't have better things to do with my time, you know. I'm not sitting here merely collecting dust, despite what it might look like to you."
Dumbledore smiled to himself. Any conversation with the Hat always had to begin with a complaint about being interrupted. The grumbling and posturing always reminded him of Severus. They were both always most willing to help once you first acknowledged how busy and important they were. He opened his mouth to speak, but once more the Hat got the first word in.
"I've only begun to sort out the class standings, so there's no point in asking for them yet. The last one of the professors only gave me their grades yesterday. It was the Trelawney woman. She's always the last. You know how it unsettles me to have to peer inside her mind. Without a doubt, that creature possesses the most dithering, chaotic mind I've ever examined. Oh, true. There is a genius spark of talent there, but it's so well hidden under the most horrendous collection of irrelevancies that I've ever come across, that it's a wonder that woman can function at all. I'll need a few days to get my equilibrium back before I can tackle the standings. You will simply have to wait."
Let the games begin, thought Dumbledore to himself, quickly realizing his error when the Hat responded crankily.
"Games? What games? What are you on about now? Are you still reading those mystery stories for amusement? I'm afraid you will have to simply do what most mortals do, Albus. You will just have to read to the end of the tale to find out who done it. A curious phrase that. I simply don't have the time at the moment to examine all the clues in detail so you can figure it out ahead of time. You do realize that it's often impossible. So many of those cheeky authors cheat and hide the most necessary clues until the final denouncement. Anyway, it's a waste of my valuable time."
"I'm sure you're right," stated Dumbledore mildly.
"Humph,"
the Hat responded stiffly, still a bit ruffled.
"It's been like King's Cross Station in here lately. You know, my nerves will go if I don't get some rest. Not only has everyone brought me their grades, but suddenly they all have conundrums that they want me to solve. Please tell your groundskeeper that I simply cannot be bothered every time he forgets where he left something. If he doesn't apply the brain of his, he's going to completely lose the use of it, you know? Heart of a lion through. No point in ever resorting that one. He will never change." "Your Professor Snape Frew, he's another kettle of a fish altogether. Not that he'd ever request a resorting. Oh, no. His life's identity is far too intertwined with being a Slytherin. Still, he might be surprised what I can see in him now that was only a glimmer when he first put me on his head. I must say, I do wish he would wash his hair a bit more frequently. However, I have tremendous difficulty absorbing all that grease after he has me on for a while. You will speak to him about it, won't you, Albus?"
Dumbledore smiled again. "I'm sure you know the answer to that one, don't you?" The voice harrumphed in annoyance.
"Yes, I suppose I do. But it was worth a try."
The headmaster's curiosity was piqued by the head's comments, so he ventured a question as he felt his way across the room to drop easily back into his chair.
"Why was Severus consulting you? Was he merely submitting the end-of-term grades?"
"Oh, no. That was merely the official reason, if anyone asked. Always has an explanation prepared in advance, that one.
He's wrestling with an intellectual problem that he simply can't get a handle on, no matter how he approaches it.
I tried to be of help, but I'm afraid that I wasn't particularly useful. I can only know what he does, after all, and I'm afraid he doesn't have all the pieces yet."
Intriguing. One never knows when such interesting pieces of information about one's colleagues will come home to roost. What was the problem that Severus is finding so vexing, may I ask? Unless he swore you to secrecy, of course. The head snorted.
"I'm sure he would have if the idea had occurred to him. He doesn't miss a trick usually. I suppose he doesn't consider this to be personal enough for him to worry about if anyone else finds out that he's thinking about it." "He's wrong, of course."
The head's voice took a slight upward lilt that Dumbledore had always interpreted as a smile.
"The man is still trying to turn the wolfsbane potion into a cure for lycanthropy. Theoretically, the changes he has made should work, but they don't, and it's driving him to distraction. He's rather desperate on the subject of werewolves. A very deep-seated revulsion and quite a lot of fear there. It's certainly not difficult to sort out his feelings on the subject. All through, he doesn't seem to find it as trivial himself. The man could hold a crutch until doomsday. If determination alone would solve the problem, then he'd be long done with it. But unfortunately, it won't. He's missing something vital. Until he realizes what it is, I can't help him."
Dumbledore leaned back in his chair, making himself as comfortable as possible. "I'm sure that Severus will figure it out eventually. The work relating to the Order of the Phoenix has brought him once more in close contact with Remus Lupin, so I'm sure the subject weighs more heavily in his thoughts than it has for a while. As you say, it's important to him, and that can act as a wonderful stimulus for the mind."
"Oh, yes. Fear is a wonderful motivator, no doubt about it."
There was a pause, and the darkness under the brim seemed to thicken slightly, as if the head was also settling down and getting comfortable.
"So, Headmaster, you still haven't told me what brings you for a visit tonight. If it's not games or puzzles or whodunits, what possessed you to put me on? Fear wouldn't happen to be the reason for our little conversation, would it? You aren't here for another resorting, are you? It seems as if we just did that. Your house affiliations don't change as often as you change socks, you know. It takes quite a lot of maturing and life experience to effect the sort of meaningful alterations that would cause me to change my mind about where to place you."
Dumbledore nodded. "True, and nothing may have changed, but I thought it was worth consulting you. Just to be sure. We haven't done this in more than a year, and like so many of them recently, it's been a very momentous time. Not that it really matters, of course, but I do find it interesting to see how life has affected my mental state over time."
"Personally, I preferred you during your Hufflepuff years myself,
said the Hatter.
A lot got accomplished around here when you didn't have so much extraneous nonsense to have to be worrying about all the time. You could really enjoy some good puttering about.
Dumbledore smiled fondly. Yes, that was a relative tranquil time, wasn't it? Through far too fleeting, I'm afraid. I haven't felt like a Hufflepuff in years. Too bad. It was the affiliation that I believe my inner being was most content with, once I tempered the reckless optimism of my youth.
I think you continue to do this in the hope that I will send you back there, where you were most comfortable, but trying times rarely call for a Hufflepuff at the helm. Days, dear best, in calm waters, I fear, and as you say, the waters are anything but calm at the moment. Oh, all right, let's give it a look, see?
Slightly anticipatory silence reigned for a few moments as one intelligence probed the other. Then the head began to speak once again.
It's as I suspected, Albus. Nothing has changed. Your actions and thoughts of the last year place you exactly where I thought you to be for many years now. You've kept your counsel close and not shared your burden widely. You've manipulated every situation as necessary and played quite skillfully with the lives around you. You've pushed and striven hard to attain that what you felt was necessary for the good of all, and you haven't let sentiment get in your way. This year in particular has marked you firmly at the side of those who, however recklessly, make use of anything and anyone to achieve the end they seek. I'm afraid, Headmaster, that you are still very firmly seated in Slytherin House. No doubt about it.